We're continuing our studies in the book of Hebrews. And last Sunday we touched on verses in chapter 6 down through verse 9. And I want to reflect a little bit more on verses 7 through 10 this morning. And I'm going to just read those verses. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. This passage of Scripture, I believe, has to do with the ministry to the saints. When I look at verse 7, when it talks about the earth that drinks in the rain, and it brings forth herbs, meat or fit for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. God is one who produces fruit for us. God is a fruit-bearing God. He bears things for us. He prepares things for us that we might live. We receive a blessing from Him. I read verse 10 where it says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and that you minister to the saints. In verse 7, it talks about fruit being born. Verse 8, it talks about us bearing fruit. Either we're bearing good fruit or bad fruit. And this fruit is ministry to others. Many people think that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But that's not true. The fruit of God is not another God. The fruit of the Spirit is not another Holy Spirit. The fruit of the vine, if Jesus is the vine, and it says He is not another Jesus. So the fruit of a Christian is the ministry that you produce for others. In other words, I want us to think about us being fruit-bearing Christians. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit has to do with ministry to others. We all don't have the same fruit. There are different trees, different fruit. But they're all beneficial. An apple tree is good for apple pie and for just a good old apple. And oranges and so forth. They're all beneficial, they're all profitable, and they are for those who will take the benefit of it. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, it tells us that God prepares fruit for us, and because He prepares fruit for us who live here on the earth, we receive blessing from Him. In Mark chapter 11, verses 12 and through 14, and it says, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon, and when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Jesus was hungry. He came to a fig tree that had leaves on it. I'm not a horticulturist, but usually when a fig tree has leaves, the fruit is there. The fruit comes before the leaves. And so Jesus came to the fig tree that had leaves on it. He was expecting fruit. And I'm bringing this verse out because he was hungry. He had a need. And he expected that tree to minister to his need. And a lot of times we look like that we are a blessing or can be a blessing or we have fruit. And when someone comes to get a blessing from you, all they have is leaves. No fruit. But here we find the Lord. And notice that he talks to the tree and the fig tree, and he says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter for the age." Actually, what he's talking about is the nation of Israel. He came to the nation of Israel, and they were not a blessing to anyone. And he says, the nation of Israel will not be a blessing for the age. What age? It's the church age. Israel is not a blessing. Israel today is a cup of trembling. I mean, the Gentile world is just shaking all over trying to handle that nation. And God prophesied that. That is the way it's supposed to be. That's God's plan. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." And I want to read a subsequent passage or a following passage out of Mark 11 again, so that we can tie these two passages together. In Mark 11:21, it says, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursed, is withered away." When we read about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8, "That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected or disapproved, and is nigh unto cursing." What happened to the fig tree that was cursed? It withered up so that it couldn't produce fruit. But here the passage says, "is nigh unto cursing." You know what that means to me? It means that the Lord does not really want you to dry up so that you cannot produce fruit. We're nigh unto cursing if the fruit that we have is thorns and briars. I assure you that we have never had a thorn and briar casserole at our house. In fact of the matter, the Word of God talks about fruit that withers. Well, we've had withered fruit in our house because we didn't eat it quick enough. And so what do you do with withered fruit? Throw it. Chunk it. And we don't want that kind of fruit in our life. We don't want for someone to come to us for a blessing and all we have is withered fruit and briars and thistles and thorns. Who can use it? Who wants it? We want to be a blessing. In Luke chapter 8, in verses 14 and 15, it says, "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard," that is the word of the kingdom, "go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of the kingdom, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." What can cause us not to bear fruit? Well, the verse 14 tells us it has to do with the cares. Cares, whose cares? Cares of others? No. Cares of my own. I'm wrapped up in me, mine. And if I'm wrapped up in my problems all the time, and we do all have problems and we do have to deal with them, but we don't have to be consumed by our problems. Riches. What have people been doing the last 2 weeks? They're consumed with riches. I read one of the professional football players spent $1,500 on lottery tickets. He just threw, and the thing about it is this, The man who spent $1,500 on lottery tickets is a multimillionaire. He doesn't need any more money. But anyway, riches can choke the word. Pleasures can choke the word. The pleasures of this life. Looking for a good time, party, going to the fair every day, or whatever. Distraction of my mind so that I don't have to think about my problems. I don't have to think about my finances. I can just have a good time. And it chokes the word. We need an honest and a good heart. If we have an honest and good heart and we hear the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, we're going to be fruitful. Because we're not going to be concentrating on the cares of our lives, our riches, and sometimes we think about being poor. If you're poor, you just don't have as much to think about. You know, you don't have to decide whether you're going to the Bahamas or to Spain for vacation. If you're poor, you want to know, well, we'll take a walk around the block. Anyway, another passage of Scripture that talks about fruit is in John 15, which is to do with the vine. The Lord said, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 1, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think of the fact that being a fruitless Christian will result in something that we don't like. I think that if we look at it from that perspective, that it will, rather than being burned, you know, and that from that point of view, because this is figurative language, the vine, the branches, and so forth. But the point is this: abiding in Him is abiding in the Word. That's the only way that I know to abide in Him is to be in the Word. That I'm in the Word myself, and that the Word of God is in me. That's what I wanted to get. Studying the Word of God and hiding the Word of God in my own heart and life. That's the only way that I know that we can abide in Him. And if we're abiding in Him and the Word is abiding in us, we're going to be fruitful. And we're not going to have to be afraid of being disapproved. We read in the passage in Hebrews 6 that if we bear thorns and briars, we will... The word rejected is idokomos. It's approval with an A on the front of it, making it a negative approval. And what is a negative approval? It's disapproval. I don't want to be disapproved when I stand before the Lord. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be denied. And so we need to abide in the vine. And I emphasize the fact that the fruit of the vine is not another vine. And if we're branches, the fruit of a branch is not another branch. Elton, if your vineyard in your backyard only produced branches, what would you do with it? Cut it down, right? Well, they make good grape jellies with those grapes. And so the fruit of a vine is not a bunch of branches. The fruit of the vine is actually the wine. The branches bear fruit. That is the grapes. And then what happens to what you bear? It's crushed. Can you imagine? serving and, you know, producing grapes and then have someone just step on them. Of course, we don't step on them today, but I don't think you do. You don't stomp on your grapes in, out of your vineyard. But anyway, the point is this. Sometimes we produce fruit and it's just crushed, you know. But you know what? God is pleased with that. In Mark chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus is talking to his disciples at the upper room, and he says, "Verily I say unto you, I will not drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you," or new in the kingdom of God. What is the fruit of the vine? It's the wine. I was reflecting upon this, and I thought, if the fruit of the vine is branches, what does branch juice taste like? It's amazing what you think about. There's nothing sweet about branch juice. There's nothing in the world. It's really sweet to have the fruit of the vine. And of course, we know that the fruit of the vine from Judges 9:13 is that which cheers God and man. And that's what we want. Our fruit producing brings joy to the Lord, and we want that to happen. We want to do those things that are pleasing to Him. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." In Galatians, this has to do with the fruit of the Christian. That has to do with the ministry that we have to the saints. And I want to emphasize the fact that it's to the saints that we are ministering to. It's not to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's the ministry to the saints. We're to do good to all men, the Word says, but especially those of the household of faith, which I have included in this passage in our notes. But in fact, that's in Galatians 6:10. We have therefore opportunity to let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I just think about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat, who was doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, went up to Samaria, and he joined forces with Ahab. Why he did that is beyond me. And Jehoshaphat says, "Your people will be like my people, and my people will be like your people, and you know my armies. We'll all be one big happy family." So what happens is they go out to war, and Ahab is killed, and Jehoshaphat goes home. What a fun day, you know. And you know what happened? There was a prophet that arrested or came by Jehoshaphat and says, "What are you doing helping this ungodly man?" He says, "The plague's on you now. You need to be careful about how you help other people. You don't want to help the ungodly. I have been guilty of helping the ungodly." And I still think of it today. I had a lady beg me to pay for a room for she and her three daughters to stay. Spend the night up here on Central. And, you know, I'm an old softy, and I gave in and went and gave her. She said, "We just need a place to stay tonight, and that's all." So I went up there, and I went in, and I wrote a check to the motel for the amount of one night stay. And I forgot to pick up a receipt for that check. So I called the guy when I got home, and I said, "Would you please send me a receipt for the money that I gave you?" He sent me a receipt. And on the receipt, it had a man's name on it, and he lives about two blocks from where I live. She wasn't a woman in need of an overnight place to stay. there was something very wrong. Because if she needed a place to stay, why didn't she stay at this guy's house? Which is right up here on Lincoln Street. It's about 3 blocks from my house. Anyway, that just irks me. And I remember that to this day. And we just don't simply dole out money to anyone that has not been coming. You know, people will call us and ask for money, and why they don't come to the service and get involved in a local church or get involved in the church here, they'd just rather not be bothered. They want the money and don't bother me, you know? Don't bother me. But anyway, we're to do good to all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. We're to be fruitful in all good works, Colossians 1:10, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God will help us to do that. In Galatians 5:19 through 20, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and it gives a long list of the works of the flesh. You know what I call that? The fruits of the flesh. The fruits of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and so forth. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Now, one thing that I have discovered in my study of the book of Galatians is this. The word holy is nowhere found in the book of Galatians. I personally do not believe that the fruit of the Spirit here has to do with the Holy Spirit. Because I do not see the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians. The word Holy Spirit is not there. The word holy is not there. Now, what is this Spirit? Well, I think the Spirit is defined in Galatians 4:6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying," what? "Abba, Father." Now, what does it mean to cry, "Abba, Father"? When Jesus cried, "Abba, Father," in the garden, what was he doing? He was submitting to the will of the Father. "Not my will, but thine be done." If you have that Spirit in your heart, you know what kind of fruit you're going to produce? You're going to produce love. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to be able to endure. You're going to be gentle. There's going to be faith and goodness and meekness and temperance, against which there is no law. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." What does it mean to crucify the flesh? It means that you have died to the fruits of the flesh, with the affections and the lusts. So the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, is the fruit of the Spirit of His Son, who cried, "Abba, Father." Now let's look at this a little more. In John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it does what? It brings forth much fruit." Did you know that the spirit of sonship is to die? Because, you know what, I never read verse 27 in relationship to verses 23 and 24 of John 12. Now look what it says. "Now is my soul troubled." You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like what he went through in the garden. And what does he continue to say? "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Is that what he said in the garden? Yes. That's exactly what he said in the garden. "Take this cup from me, Lord," or "Father, if you can." But he also said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That was when he said, "Abba, Father." Of course, he admitted in this verse 27, "For this cause came I unto this hour." And he was talking about his crucifixion or his death. Has the Lord produced any fruit since the time that He died on the cross? I am thankful for that fruit every day. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that He is producing fruit to bless me. And He is doing the same thing for you. He is bearing fruit for you and for me. Why? He is our high priest. Have we been talking about that in Hebrews chapter 6? Yes, we have. It's in fact, it's in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. It tells us, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. And if you have that Spirit, you're going to produce the fruits of that Spirit, which that list is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Now that's the kind of fruit I would like to produce. I want to produce love for my Savior. And I want to love the brethren and the sisters. Loving the brethren is ministering to the saints. Because in loving the brethren, we don't pat them on the back and say, be filled and be warmed, do we? When we see a brother that's hungry or cold, what do? We give them food to eat and clothes to wear, if needed, whatever the need may be. Now, back to Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. One thing that we can be thankful for is that if you're producing fruit that is a blessing to other people, God's not going to forget that. You can count on it. He is not going to forget that. He wants to remember that. He wants to forget our sin, but He wants to remember our ministry to each other. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3 it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. What does that mean, in the sight of God? It means that God is looking. He is looking at your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope. It does not happen unnoticed by our Father. Now, what can we do? Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, it says, He that receiveth you, receiveth Me. And he that receiveth Me, receiveth him that sent Me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall drink, or give to drink one of these little ones. Who are the little ones? They are the least of My brethren. The little ones are the ones who are going to enter the kingdom. Matthew chapter 18. A cup of cold water. Only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Receiving and giving just little things. I mean, a cup of cold water. How much does a cup of cold water cost? You know what? That's important to the Lord. That's important to God. For us to just simply give something little. Doesn't have to be big, something little. What happens when we're doing this? Matthew 25, verse 38 through 40. We're ministering to the king. It's usually the other way around, isn't it? The king's ministering to the people. Isn't it a joy that we can minister to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What happens when we minister to each other? What happens, what is going on when we are producing fruit for each other? Well, I get the blessing and the benefit, but you know who you're ministering to, really? You're ministering to Jesus Christ Himself. Would you deny Jesus Christ a cup of water? Or food? Or if He was in jail, Peter wouldn't even go visit Him. When the Lord was in jail, would he? Peter was looking out for the cares of this world, right? No, it's not the cares of this world. He was looking out for his own skin. But you know, the Lord wants us to minister to each other. So He says, if you will do that, it will be the same thing as ministering to me. May the Lord help us to appreciate the value of ministering to each other. And I didn't include it in this passage of Scripture, but these who ministered to the king were the ones who entered the kingdom. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May the Lord help us to be a blessing, to minister to each other, knowing that He's not going to forget our work and labor of love. He is not going to forget the fruit. And we get the blessing from it. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we can minister to You by ministering to each other. And I just pray, Lord, that You just give us a burden to be aware when someone's in need, that we can reach out to them. Just thank You so much for the care, the watch care that these people have been to Gene and I. And we just ask Your Father to bless them in a special way as they have cared for us over the years. We thank You, Lord, that standing in this pulpit and teaching the Word of God, teaching Your Word, is ministering blessing to these people. And we thank You for the privilege that You've given us to do that. We pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.